Wait a minute. Guess who just joined us?
Josh!
At 7 o'clock.
He's still eating.
At 7 Damn, o'clock dude. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah. Yes, he is here.
Oh, my God. Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Josh, Barry J, Barty, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, happy birthday, Barty. Is the UN trying to take over the internet? And did you hear about that new podcast called Virtual Youper? All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Josh, Barry J, Barty, and Michael! Hey everybody, welcome to Late Night QRM, show number 74 from the southwest corner of New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And from the Tug Hill Plateau of central New York, this is Barty.
And from the Man Cave, a.k.a. Virtual Youper Studios, I'm Michael, from the suburbs of Copper Harbor.
And before we start tonight's episode, we have to say a very happy birthday to Bartman there.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll cut it out.
Today is Barty's birthday. And should
yes,
be,
it is. Yes, it is.
Would you care to tell us?
My wife bought me a brand new chainsaw, and wouldn't you know that the friggin' weather did not cooperate? It's been raining all goddamn day, and I can't play with my new toy, damn it! But at least the Patriots won.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
The day is not all lost.
Yeah, so can we find out, or are you keeping it secret what birthday this is?
No, this is I have to do the math. I think it's 55 or something like that.
55? Oh, okay.
I think so.
You're still young. Still
55 or 56, one of those.
What year were you born in?
55.
You were born in 1955?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then you would be this would be Barty, I think this is number 57.
You're 57.
Yeah, my wife just said, asshole, you're 56.
Because my wife...
All right, so I can't do math.
Because my wife was born in 56.
You weren't supposed to probably sister. Say that.
Oops. Okay, 56. I meant 66, didn't I?
So,
didn't they say 66?
Right. But the thing is I was born in France, and you know, I drank a lot of wine as an infant, and you know, so you know, my birth is kind of a foggy thing for me, you know. I didn't come to the States till I was like I was like 4 or 5 or so, you know.
Wow!
And I've been drinking wine ever since,
and probably celebrating more birthdays than you need to.
Well, at least celebrating a lot more with wine than I need to. I mean. Who needs an occasion to enjoy wine, right?
Exactly.
That's right.
You know, any day.
That's the guy from the bourbon barrio.
Oh, who, Barry or me?
No, the barrio, the bourbon barrio, the guy that knows all there is to know about bourbon.
Oh well.
He talked to us about what was that stuff last week? The red shot or what?
Wait. Just listen.
Oh, he's got some.
You mean that stuff?
Thank you.
That's Jim Beam Red Stag.
The stuff I have not been able to find.
That's what it was. I don't know if that was like last week or something I was listening to from one of the podcasts that I wasn't in on, but they all kind of blend together after a while. I mean, I listen to so many of these podcasts in a row that, you know, they all kind of become like one, because I don't really listen to the ones that I participated in. I try to catch up on all the ones that I was not there for, mm-hmm. and I listen to them all in a row, and, you know, in between the ones that I participate in, and they all like become a blur. So I don't really know which ones I participated in and which ones were ones I was just like listening in like yesterday, you know?
Well, that's probably, I guess that's good. That's more consistent on the show.
I do know that Michael was mobile on the last one that I was present on.
That was last one. The last one. Yeah, I've been getting them out pretty much on time.
But I have listened to one in between that.
Yeah, I don't.
So it kind of confuses me. The last one that I participated in was the one that Michael was mobile on. It was the last one we did live.
Okay.
So I'm keeping things roughly in order now.
Well, Barty, I can help you out with this. The ones that you don't hear yourself,
you're not there.
You're not there.
The only one you listen to, dumbass. I don't listen to the ones I'm in because I was there, you know. So I try to catch up on this, you know, like there are times when all of us are together and you're talking about things that happened in shows that I wasn't available for,
right?
So you know, I obviously listened to all the shows I wasn't there for, but you know, sometimes It hits in a way where I hit like two or three in a row that I listen to, and then I get online for one, and then I hear another one that I wasn't online for, and then I'm online again, and it's like they all kind of blend together, and I'm trying to figure out which conversation is current, which one is like too old for me to really bring up again. Like, well, in the last show was a good example, because I really wanted to talk about ham radio, but I was like thinking about, how old was that? When I was listening to Barry and Mike talk about ham radio stuff, and like they're doing like, you know, the broadcasting thing and all that kind of stuff, and I was like, well, you know, is that like too far back to bring up again? Because, you know, I was never a transceiver. I never broadcasted. I was always a listener. I was always like sending out SQLs to all the different stations I could hear and things, and that was awesome to me. But you know, there wasn't internet back then, so you know, if you wanted to hear news from all around the world, the only way to do it was to get on shortwave radio, because every single nation in the world broadcast their news to the world. You know,
on shortwave. Yep.
Yeah, and I thought that was just like freaking awesome. Yeah. You know, and you know, of course, all of that is all rather passé today, because like the whole world's news is available instantly on the internet.
Oh, but we should. Oh, actually, let me move one of the topics, because we should blend that right into one of the topics that the speaking of the world and the news and the internet. The UN is trying to take over
UN
the internet.
That sounded very, come on, the UN, dun dun dun.
Oh, I don't have my sound effects. My wife was using the iPad. I didn't have it up here. Sorry. Oh well. Yes, every so many years, the international, what is it, the, oh God, I should look it up, the IEA Union, whatever it's called. Let me bring it up here. Anyway, it's part of the UN, and they meet every so often to figure out what to do with frequencies. They coordinate frequency use and everything around the world. And, of course, it's not going to say here, probably. Anyway, so they're due to meet again soon, and they want to decide whether or not that the internet is they should control the internet also.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, no! You know what?
Yes.
No!
Yeah, exactly. Half of them are walking around, you know, wearing towels, and they're and half the and a portion of their entire population are starving to death, looking for a bowl of rice or a bowl of mush, and they want to control the internet. Geez, I wonder why.
Yeah, so if that happens, hey, you may not be able to hear.
A bowl of rice for them to shut the hell up.
Yeah. Sure. So if they do that, that's going to totally change everything.
I'm not going to be told by some guy who speaks in Durka language what the hell I can and can't look at on the goddamn internet,
exactly.
Or that I got to pay him. You know what?
Exactly.
Well, what will happen is we'll stay free here. Well, hopefully, with the current administration,
yeah.
I don't know.
You're optimistic.
That's
hell.
True.
We have a leftist government in charge, and you're thinking, oh, yeah, we'll be independent.
Excuse me, Comrade Barry. What the hell are you talking about?
Exactly, Dash. Perfect.
What was the theme song?
Yeah, Dash. Yeah, Dash.
It's the International Telecommunications Union.
ITU.
Yeah. They're going to meet.
Yeah. Durka Durka Jihad Jihad. Shut up.
Fuck off. I have a link to in the show notes if anybody's interested in reading about
this. A new link, right?
So, but yes, it's a serious thing. They want to be able to control, right now, there's that one corporation. I guess it's a corporation. It's a private company that, takes care of all the naming.
It's a fellowship sort of thing, I think, isn't it?
But it's private. It's a U.S. private corporation. And yes, I think it's kind of loosely a corporation, and it coordinates everything and all the names and addresses and everything.
Yeah.
And the UN wants to take that over.
Go ahead, Josh.
No. I'm dumbfounded. I'm absolutely dumbfounded that it would even come up as a discussion topic in the UN. First of all, the UN, let's face it, we have a lot of allies in this country, but there's an awful lot of, phrase them as pissant countries that are part of the UN that are basically sitting around with their hand out, looking for handouts to try and make their country run when, let's just face it, ours is pretty broken right now by itself. And what better way to make sure to ensure that handout comes to you than try to control that country's internet and natural resources and technology? And I think it's a little self-serving, don't you guys? That the UN
tend to say that you're... opinion is mostly correct, except for the fact that these countries that have their handout trying to improve their local conditions is kind of optimistic. I think what the real case is that these countries have their handout because the leaders are interested in improving their personal situations. They could give a rat's ass what happens to their country and their countrymen. They're looking to line their frickin' pockets.
Yeah.
You know, sense. And the whole thing should not be allowed to fall to these kinds of idiots who are just looking to profit from the whole thing. It's been proceeding pretty well to date, so why rock the friggin' boat?
Well, that's exactly.
Until there's a problem, when a problem develops, well, then let's determine what the problem is and what the proper fix is. If there's no problem, why rock the freaking boat?
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I think also what they need to probably do before they can control the world's internet, they should probably try indoor plumbing.
There you go. I mean, if you can't have indoor plumbing, you sure as hell cannot have internet plumbing. So you have no opinion, period. I agree with that, Josh. You know? I mean, that sounds so common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And why does that not float? Leftist idiots just will not agree with that kind of crap.
Well,
they want to have crap flow everywhere.
Exactly. So basically, that idea of the leftist and basically things related to plumbing that float on water, are pretty much hand in hand.
So people on the right who have money to make crap flow, the leftists want to take the money from them and try to help people that don't have the money to make crap flow, and take it away from the people that can make crap flow like crazy, and
that's put called it redistribution.
That crap flows equally.
That's
well,
called.
That doesn't work.
That's
crap
called.
Not work.
It's called redistribution of the crap.
Yes,
but crap doesn't redistribute.
Leave my shit alone. It's mine. Okay, I earned it. I bought it. It's my shit. Leave it alone.
Yeah. That's why I don't contribute to a sewer system. I have my own friggin' septic. Don't complain to me about crap going anywhere else. My crap goes in my place, and don't complain to me.
Oh, but is that really your place?
Yeah, it
is. Speaking of which, because there was in the local newspaper here, the Monadnock Ledger Transcript, or Transcript Ledger, I forget that, what it's called these days. There was a gentleman, and I don't have his name, but he wrote a letter in, and this is an Agenda 21 thing, which is another UN thing, that he doesn't think that the water, the groundwater, belongs to anybody. And, as a matter of fact, it belongs to all the people. So he is making the suggestion, and they're already doing this out west in some places, that everybody should be metered on their use of groundwater.
No.
And then also pay a fee for using that water.
My well.
Where do I find this guy's address, and what size of gun do I need to kill him?
Hey, that's part of Agenda 21.
Yeah, well, I got an agenda for that dude. Just tell him to come out to visit me.
Yeah, but it is already happening out west.
It is. They're putting meters on wells. And
there's no goddamn way I'm letting somebody in my house for a well that I paid for that came with my house and tell me, well, because you paid, you know, $21,000 to go 700 feet down and catch fresh groundwater under your own property, that now I have to pay for what you once was free.
Well,
I agree with Jess.
It's not your water. It's just
Then it's not
trespassing across your...
taking this water from me.
I will poison the entire goddamn pool of it if you try and do that, so everybody downstream loses. If I go down, we all go down.
But you can't do that to the people's water.
Changing the path of his septic tank to point towards his well.
I know what I'm going to do with some of my shit.
Shove it down Jazz as well.
Well, here's the next thing. Now you get into the rain catch basins. So people who are very eco-green and whatever, and thanks for that, I appreciate it, blah, blah, blah. But let's say you put out a big giant tub that catches fresh rainwater, and that's what you use to water your lawn or wash the car, what have you. So is the next step, so they're going to try and basically say the water on the ground is everybody's water, and the water that falls from the sky is from Jesus. But they're going to try and tax
that. Oh, no. There is no Jesus.
They've already done that.
Technically comes from Jesus.
It, honest to God, it's the tears from the Lord himself.
No. Yes. Come on now. Let's not go getting too incredibly religious about this. Water happens from the grace of nature, which was indeed created by God.
Exactly.
We can go that far.
But let's say this. The point being is if it fell from the clouds, which are in the Earth's atmosphere, is their argument then going to be, well, that water is the world's water, and you should have to pay to be able to use it or wash your face or clean your car?
Exactly.
I got a case for you. I got a case for you, and you'll appreciate this. This past... a year ago, our winter was a very, very mild winter here in the Tug Hill Plateau. We tend to average over 300 inches of snow a year. And I don't really remember what the totals were last year, but they were about half that. They were like about 140 to 160 inches. And we also experienced a very, very dry spring and summer. We didn't have a whole lot of rains and things. So we experienced a situation where a lot of wells were running dry. Now I'm talking here locally in my Tug Hill Plateau town of Redfield, New York, because I don't really know about things further away. So I'm referring about information that I know personally. So a number of wells ran dry, but some of those wells had been dug 6 feet deep. Some of those wells had been dug four feet deep. And I thought my well had run dry because I was Tony and I were having troubles with our pump, and we thought that the water pump issues were maybe because the pump was trying to suck water out of a dry well. So in the middle of this drought, and actually more towards the latter part of it, we actually lifted off the lid of our well and dropped a drop line down into the water, and discovered that our well was had 8 feet of water. And the main reason for that was that when the person built the house back in 1975 or so, when he dug a well, he dug an incredibly deep hole. He dug and dug and dug, and when he hit water, he keep digging, and he kept digging, he kept digging. He made a very, very deep well and put in a very long, deep wall into that because he thought that, well, you know, there might be a drought some year, and I wanted to make sure I was deep enough in the ground that I would get water. And, you know, so over the years, you know, he had a pipe going, a hose going down into the water that ran to the pump that pumped the water up into the house. And when we started having trouble getting water through the pump, I talked to one of our neighbors who was the brother of the guy that built this house, and I said, "Hey, Alan, how did your brother do the well? Because I think we're running out of water." He looked at me with a shrug look on his face and said, "That well has never run out of water." And I says, "Well, can you help me determine what the problem is?" Because we had a plumber come out and look at things, and he seemed to think that everything was okay. And he says, "Well, you know, maybe you're just running out of water in your well, because there had already been six other wells around me that had run out of water because people hadn't taken the time and the effort to dig them deep enough." Mm-hmm. So Alan came over, and, you know, like I said, we dropped the rope down, and we determined it was like 8 feet of water in this well. And we kicked the pump around and things, and determined that, yeah, okay, there's a problem here with the pump, but it's a pump problem. It's not a water problem. Mm-hmm. So the whole bottom line is like, it all comes down to how deep do you bother to dig your well? A lot of people were running out of water that past summer in here in Redfield only because their wells simply weren't dug deep enough. We were okay, but we were having pump issues, which have we've been able to fix since then. And now, you know, we're doing okay with water, but, you know, sometimes it's only how deep you dig your wells.
Yep. Yeah, we had pump problems too because we had to replace ours a couple, I guess it was a couple summers ago now. And we're down deep too. I want to say deep. I know people have deeper wells, but we're down about 200-300 feet, I think, for water. And the pump actually sits down at the bottom on ours. It's
your pump's down there, or you have a foot valve? Which one?
No, the pump is down there.
Michael, what were you saying about them taxing water out west?
No, what I was going to say out west was, for example, Colorado, it is illegal to collect the water coming out of your gutters. You cannot harvest rainwater. You cannot harvest snow runoff. Under state legislator, and I think it's more than Colorado, but that one for sure I looked up while we were talking. It's becoming, the state says the water belongs to everybody. You can't take it off your roof. It's not yours.
So what are you supposed to do with it? Just let it run off to nobody?
Yes, that's what you're supposed to do, and it's spreading.
That is such a load of crap. It's unbelievable.
I agree, but that's what's happening.
I'm with Josh.
Oh, I totally disagree with this too. It's like, you know, the minute they legislate that here, then I'm going to tell them, well, then hook me up to town water. And when they say, well, we can't, and I said, you have to. You're not charging me for the water underneath me. If you're saying that's people's water, then I shouldn't have to pay money to, you know,
anybody, because it's everybody's.
Right.
Who are you to charge me money for what's everybody's, because it's not yours either? It's everybody's.
Exactly.
So unless everybody in the whole globe decides to say, okay, we want a cut of Barry J's water, then it would be a justifiable charge, because then they're all paying Barry J for their portion of water.
Not to mention,
well, that, yeah. Hey, I wouldn't mind having some Monadnock Mountain water.
But you see, I mean, obviously the point is, and it's a true point. If it's everybody's,
I mean, if I was living in Syracuse, if my choice was Syracuse water or Barry J's Monadnock water, I would charge Barry J to send me his freaking water.
You want to know what's so funny? Right on that same note, every time the wife and I go up there, we're going up for Christmas dinner this year too, like tradition. I literally probably drink 2 gallons of water in the first 4 hours I'm there, and I don't like drinking tap water, but his water is so friggin' good. I mean, literally, I'll drink the shower water. It's that damn good.
Well, the shower water is the same thing as the tap water.
Exactly.
I mean, it's all the same water.
Well, I don't want to say anything, Josh, but we do have 4 different filters on that water.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
Well, that's mostly to get the soot, or not soot, the silt and stuff out of it, too.
I'll drink your silty water. I don't care. It's compared to Nashua water. Oh, my God. I've smelled swimming pools that had less chlorine in them than the water that comes out of my tap.
Well, I know. I know if they're
going.
You're
in Nashua, aren't you, Josh?
Yes, I am.
I used to be as well.
I know one thing. If they come knocking on the door and want to put a meter on my well, and there's nothing, no way I can get around it, I will do one thing. I will charge them rent for the space on my property where the meter goes.
There you go.
And it'll be about the same as what they're going to charge me for,
you know,
pulling the water
out. Once in a while, we'll also eliminate that meter.
What's that?
A 410 shot right to the meter.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that too.
You know, you could tell them, well, I don't know where the hell that happened, you know. Yeah. I mean, they can't prove you did it.
Yeah.
A deer must have stepped in front of it. Somebody shot it.
There you go. Put a little like orange reflective sticker and just like shoot it. And it says, well, I don't know. Somebody must have thought it was a deer.
That's where the turkeys hang out. Oh, man. Yeah, well, I'm just saying, get ready, because there's going to be a whole lot more kind of Agenda 21 things coming. And oh, by the way, the current administration likes Agenda 21.
Oh,
so.
Yes.
Well, let's get aside from all that sad stuff. Let's start talking about the farewell to the USS Enterprise.
All right.
Or at least the current USS Enterprise.
Well, yes. Yes, the... Thursday or Friday? It pulled into port down in Virginia, and it is going to be decommissioned.
Wow. Yeah, so, it's such a sad thing.
It is
the first nuclear aircraft carrier.
Yep, nuclear powered aircraft carrier in the U.S. Navy's arsenal.
And it was also the first of its kind. It was a class ship, of that size, and this bothers me. I heard last night on a news thing they were talking about, and they said, what's going to happen with the Enterprise? And I figured, oh, they've got to turn that into
a museum
or something. No.
No.
They're going to scrap it.
I can't believe
that. So disgusting.
They're going to scrap it. And I'm like, you're kidding me. There's no way they can scrap that.
Well, you know what? And this is kind of goes right along with what we're talking about right now, actually, very much so. But when I was actually playing an actual game of Black Ops 2, the characters in there refer to getting on the ship the USS Obama. And the first time I heard that, I almost threw up. I almost took the game out. I'm like, screw it, I'm never playing it again. But literally, when I had heard that, now they're scrapped. Now you fight, you know, of course, that's just a game, but watch, it'll happen. But they're getting rid of literally a flagstone ship, you know, a leap, a huge leap forward in technological advancement for naval warfare and naval ships. And they said, we're just going to turn it into scrap metal.
Yep. Well, it's not just a leap ahead technologically in naval warfare, but it's also a ship that is of historical importance.
Yep.
I mean, this ship played pivotal roles in a lot of crises in our military history.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not right that we just rip it apart.
Well, who's in charge? Enough said. So anyway, moving on.
But no, it's more than that. It's more than that. It's nobody asks who's in charge. What are we going to do with the ship? What happened to the ship is because the Navy isn't really caring enough about it.
Yeah, they could.
This is not a presidential decision. Sure. This is a Navy much lower decision saying, yeah, just scrap it.
Right. Well, I'll say it's a congressional decision.
I don't want to spare about Obama any criticism, but, you know, we have to be fair about this. This is not something that is occurring because Obama said, screw this boat, screw this crap, let's scrap it. This is a Navy decision on Navy terms for Navy reasons. And why they aren't just taking out all the nuclear reactors and all the nuclear related things, removing it from the ship and parking it someplace. Because let's face it, a huge ass aircraft carrier like that, you got to be kidding me. That has to be a great draw someplace.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, look at the one in New York. Was it the... what's up in New York? The Intrepid? The one that's a museum?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great draw. This would be great. But then again, all I can say, maybe we don't know the reason. Maybe because it's nuclear, and I think that's the only way it's powered.
It is.
Maybe that's the reason why.
The Enterprise from day one was a totally nuke ship. It was nothing but nuclear reactors. They improved them over the years and things like that. They advanced them. And, you know, it just got to a point where it's not, you know, the latest technology anymore.
Right.
But, you know, still, can't you take that stuff out and just kind of like leave like a rough representation of what it'll look like and said, hey, this is what a nuke reactor looked like back when the ship had one. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, isn't there some place you can park this ship where people would want to come see it? I mean, down in Norfolk, there's a battleship, USS Wisconsin, that you can go visit. That's really cool. The USS Missouri is available to go visit, you know? Why can't this be?
Maybe because it'll cost more.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Might be because it'll cost more to, say, decon the ship to the level where the public can safely go in it, and then the maintenance and upkeep is, it will cost more to do that than it would be, than what they would get in tourism. So, on the flip side of the coin, they scrap it.
Yeah, it could be.
That could be. I have to look into it a little more and find out.
I mean, I'm kind of a history buff. I enjoy, you know, visiting, historical sites and things like that. So to me, it's just such a pointless loss. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, come on, it's a historic ship.
Mm-hmm.
We're just gonna rip this up and just throw it away. I mean, really? Are we really going to do that?
Let me ask you a question. Has anybody got any wind of whether or not they're building any new ships to potentially replace it?
Basic opinion of Congress is that because of the... Oh, God, this sucks. Because... No, I'm serious.
Yeah, I know.
Because of of the overwhelming success of unmanned drones, to have the same kind of force projection that we did in the past. You know, and to me, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Missing the freaking point. Force projection is a whole separate issue from drones flying around and killing people.
Mm-hmm.
The force projection shows power. It shows that you're united with your ally. And it shows that you're involved in the area. If you're going to send in like drones from 3,000 or 4,000 miles away and kick people's asses and leave, what the hell does that show? That shows you're nothing but freaking mercenaries.
That's right.
You need to have force projection capability that puts ships and boots on the ground and an aircraft nearby, manned aircraft nearby, but still use the drones to kick people's asses because they're like hiding in places that you just can't do the old conventional warfare practices at. I mean, it would be great. As far as I'm concerned, my personal opinion, and this is only a personal opinion, this is not LQRF sanctioned. My personal opinion is that carpet bombing ended at the end of World War II. That was a sad thing. We do not need precision bombing. If you go into Pakistan and level half of the friggin' country, tell you what, the Taliban will say, oh, shit, fuck this.
Yeah. They're in a safe fucking
island. I'm serious. You know?
I agree.
We don't need people in Afghanistan. We don't need people in Iraq. Pull all U.S. troops out. Send in a dozen B-2s, B-52s, and some B-1s, and just level the friggin' place. Glass
Stone Age.
And they'll all say, "Oh yeah, we fucked up." I'm telling you, this whole stuff of precision bombing and throwing a bomb in a window of a building to kill five people who are in charge of the local Taliban community, and oh yeah, we're great, we got rid of these five people. Well, so what? They'll find five other people. Right. What are you going to do? Throw another bomb into another window to kill those five? Well, yeah. Guess what? They got another 10 or 15 lining up. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Screw that. Carpet bomb. It worked in World War II, and it will work today. And if the complaint, all I got to say is, like what Randy Newman said back, well, we probably don't even know that Randy Newman reference, but basically, hey, we'll just level you, and that'll be the end of you.
Then you get to pay for
theory.
It. Then when they come back and say they're sorry, and all
there
we screwed up...
To come back and say they're sorry. There's nobody there.
Always somebody that crawls out from under a rock that says, "Oh,
Israel to finish them off."
Yeah.
Just don't tell them what days you're going to carpet bomb.
Oh God!
Like we did in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Oh, we only carpet bomb on Mondays and Wednesdays. So they
that was the bomb disposal day. We got all these old bombs we got to get rid of. Yeah. We're gonna put them.
What happened was the Viet Cong would leave on those days, and they come in and bomb, and then after they're done bombing, they'd come back in.
Yeah, several hundred well placed daisy cutters can take care of a lot of problems.
Yeah,
yeah. My dad was in that war, and some of the stuff that he told me about was just like crazy.
Mm. Yeah, it's what happens when you let Congress run the roar.
Keep taking the same hill over and over again. And it's like, well, okay. Well, today's Wednesday. Today is like take hill 10 hill, a hill 10 again. So, you know, it's like, you got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, why don't you try taking it like on Tuesday instead of Wednesday and see what that does, you know?
Really?
Well, let's do it on Monday instead of Wednesday.
Yeah. Surprise them, maybe.
It was always the same schedule.
Bet you didn't see that coming.
Is that Jash?
I said, you can almost hear the drum and the rim shot whenever you bomb them on a Thursday. And you say, bet you didn't see that coming. Dun-dun-dun. You know what I mean?
You know, it was really kind of funny because my dad had bought this Panasonic reel-to-reel tape recorder when he was in Vietnam. And he used to put he was a cook and in the Trang, and he used to turn the recorder on and talk to all his friends as they came and went, and as they were doing things and stuff like that. And you know, you would hear, he would be like, all right, here come the guards again, you know, and the guards would always be like looking around, you know, asking them questions about things and then moving on. And my dad would be like, yeah, if I had a North Vietnamese hidden here, like I was going to tell him, you know, like the Vietnamese would kill me before he did. And in fact, he didn't, he would kill me. So it's like, big deal. You know, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. So, yeah, it was like him, and it was like, well, four or five of his buddies that all worked in there, they were all like joking and like talking about all this crazy crap all the time. And you could hear like bombs going off in the distance and stuff like that. And they would be getting closer, and he goes, oh, crap, they're getting closer with their mortars. And he'd be talking to his coworkers, do you think it's time to shut things down? He says, nah, we better not, because we got people coming in ready to eat. And he's like, well, yeah, but I don't want to die while I'm trying to feed them. And they're like talking all this junk. And you're like, come on, man, this is a war going on. And he was like, well, you know, that's the way it was back then. You know, you just like do your, you know, do your job and just like move around. And, you know, and you talk about this stuff like it was just like, yeah, you know, this was the day-to-day activity, you know. And it was like, you got to be kidding me, you know. But it was the same thing when I went out to Afghanistan. We had to transition. I was trying to move from this is like so funny, because you can't get ready transportation to anywhere you want to go in the AOR. So like I'm over here sitting around in Qatar, and I want to move into Afghanistan, but I have to go to some other place first to catch a flight that may or may not be there, which turned out wasn't there. So I'm like sitting around, and like there's like no place to eat because there's no chow hall there. It's not even a real base. It's just like a small landing strip, you know. And I'm looking at people and saying, well, you know, you got anything to eat? And they're like, well, I had a sandwich a couple hours ago, but I got hungry and I ate it. And I was like, a plane ride, and we get picked up, and we get taken to another place where there's a battle going off about a mile away, and you can hear all the battle sounds. And I really can't relay what that location was, but you can hear the fight going on, and they're saying, I asked, well, are we okay here? He goes, yeah. They're just trying to get the Air Force to send some A-10s. I says, and there's a problem with that? He goes, no. They're just, you know, they're just getting around to it. This part is you hear all this gunfire going on, and then all of a sudden you hear these A-10s just... I'm not sure if you've ever heard an A-10 fire, but it sounds like a whole lot of fire in a very, very short period of time. It's kind of a farting sound. And
I love it when you tell stories.
I'm sorry. My A-10 sounds like a fart. Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Farting sound. And like, everything is quiet, and they go, okay, we can take off now. So we all get into this little plane, and we take off, and we can fly.
Barney, you're breaking up.
And, you know, everything was cool once we got there. And that was like a major installation. And there's like dozens of chow halls there. You can eat food from all around the world, depending upon which chow hall you go into. And Let me tell you, there are some travel halls you do not want to go into. But some of them are actually rather good. So, but that's like totally off topic.
Yeah, that's all right. But do you, and you what? You were starting to break up, so I wonder if that was Skype or something else.
Maybe something else.
Or someone else.
Else downloaded iTunes 11?
Yes, iTunes 11. I downloaded it. And what? Come again, Barty, because you're breaking up.
I downloaded it.
I my first impressions of it was it looks nice, but I don't like where they hit everything.
To me, it's like the same old shit with just a different coat of paint.
Well, except for they hid things. I liked it when they had the left-hand column with everything there.
Yeah.
And now it's gone. You know, it's gone. And apparently, I was just reading before I came up here to do the podcast that you can get it back if you want to. But, you know, it's almost as bad as when you get a new version of Skype. They just rearrange all the buttons and everything.
Yeah. Well, that's my impression as well. I don't really see where they changed anything. All they did was, like, rearrange the views. So, big freaking deal.
Yeah, I tell you the truth, I don't use iTunes that often. And now, since you can back up Wi-Fi-wise, you know, as soon as I bring my phone in, and as long as iTunes is running, it automatically does a backup across Wi-Fi. And updates and everything like that automatically. So I rarely open iTunes up to do anything.
I don't really see whether there's any kind of benefit at all.
Michael, did you upgrade yet?
No, I haven't. I've looked at it. But there's a couple things I actually want to do first, and I decided I wanted to get those accomplished before I tried playing around with iTunes 11. One of them is I actually plan on, it's only been 5 years, but I think it's about time I list Virtual Youper and Youpercast in iTunes.
Oh.
I would think that would be a helpful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually going to do it this morning, but then as I was getting ready to set the XML files up for iTunes, the descriptions came up of, find this podcast in Mevio. Like, no, I'm going to strip that stuff out first.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, you got to be very careful when you register it in iTunes, because if you screw anything up, you cannot get help for it. And I don't know why. There's no contact. If you try to contact something, nobody gets back to you about it. Because when I took the Late Night QRM off of what you call it,
Squarespace,
because I didn't like the way their RSS feed was handled. I moved it, and now I have to change where the RSS feed is. Well, you're supposed to, according to iTunes, you're supposed to stick, and I don't remember the number, you put a 40-something in your RSS feed so that people know, okay, the RSS feed has moved, and it's now over here, and supposedly, you know, their catcher will automatically update to where the RSS feed is now located. Yeah, except for Squarespace, and I don't know whether they've changed, but at the time, didn't give you the opportunity to do anything with your RSS feed, including putting that in there. So what I ended up doing, and that's why I went back to I want to say Feed Blaster, but it's not it. Feed Burner. Because
yeah, that's what I use.
I use FeedBurner only because that will never change, and I can go in and change what feeds FeedBurner. So, but needless to say, I tried to get a hold of somebody in iTunes, could never get a hold of anybody, and I think to this day, if you do a search on Late Night QRM in iTunes, it'll come up with two versions of it. The old version and the new version. And I can't get rid of the old one. I've emailed them. I told them, look, this version, I am the owner. this version is no longer, this feed is no longer available or live, please remove it. It's still there. And I've gotten no contact back, no feedback back from the iTunes people on that. So just be very careful when you register with iTunes, because it's like a one-way street.
Yeah, well, that's why I saw that stuff in there from Mevio in the description file that I wanted to get rid of that.
Yeah. So
I guess if you go to Libsyn, they have a capability where they will move you from Mevio to Libsyn.
They will
migrate all your appropriate links generally.
Yeah, but in my case, Barty, Mevio is just a secondary feed for me. I mean, I mirrored everything to them, but I've always owned my own feed. And, you know, it turned out to be a good thing.
Yeah, sure. Because I'm kind of screwed because they were my feed.
Yeah, well, again, just be careful with the iTunes, because what happens is you can get, well, like I have two feeds in there now, and if they get the wrong feed, I prefer people just come to latenightqrm.com and grab that feed, but most people just go to iTunes and look for it, and that can be dangerous. You know, you can put any feed in any of these catchers, and actually iTunes, I don't know what they do. Is iTunes feed different? Do they just suck my RSS feed into iTunes? They must, because sometimes they lag behind. Yeah. So, but, yeah. Never been real happy with iTunes. I'm glad iTunes, they were the first ones to accept podcasting, which...
They really did do a really good job about promoting podcasting,
right?
Initially, anyway.
Yeah, not so much. And the only podcasts they're interested in are ones that are done by Hollywood types.
Well, yeah, but podcasting is also, for the most part, kind of fallen by the wayside, pretty much.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I know a lot of people that listen to podcasts. Still.
Well, yeah, all of us tech types still listen to podcasts. All of us geeks are getting into it. But, you know, for a while, there were a lot of really mainstream people that were typical radio listeners that were actually tuning into podcasts. Because a lot of my audience during the heyday of the Bartycast were people who were not really podcast per se listeners, but they were people who were like radio listeners who were like experimenting with this podcasting thing and had gotten into it and started hearing like in the artists that they were interested in. But the thing is that if you can't key into an indie artist that gets popular, then it just doesn't continue.
Yeah. All I know is what's happened is when Hollywood discovered podcasting, now you've got all the, especially comedians and things like that, they're all putting their own podcasts out. And of course, when iTunes first started up, you could, of course, if somebody famous was doing a podcast, you would see it there. You always saw NPR podcasts up there. But you would see some of the real popular, I want to say, independent podcasters would make the list too, and you could see them in the top 10. But now you can't.
That's what I'm saying. It's because it was a new media, and they were bringing new things to the market that people were kind of interested at first, you know? But after a while, when there were not any celebrities being generated out of the market, that it tended to kind of fade.
Yeah, I think people are still listening to podcasts. They're just listening to the popular podcasts, or only because, you know, most people aren't willing to use the search and dig. They'll just look at what's on the top list.
A lot of average podcasts have also started to fall away. If they haven't been able to find popular general media support, they've tended to die.
Well, yeah, because, you know, we kind of do it. It's a hobby. A lot of the people really putting a lot of time and effort into their podcasts. Not that we don't put time and effort into it, but I mean, they were putting more time and effort that they were burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah, I understand what you were saying, because I was doing the same with the Barty cast.
Yeah, so they're looking for a way to make a living doing podcasting, and some succeeded, others didn't, and they got burnt out, and that's, you know, that's when they pod faded, as they used to say.
Yeah. Well, so. I think there's a lot of that going on. I think when Mevio was providing people like me free access to the internet, you know, being able to podcast as much as I wanted, and when I had a job that allowed me to podcast 3 or 4 times a week, you know, I put out a lot of freaking shows, and a lot of people really liked it, and a lot of the artists were people that were independent artists that they were able to go and see locally. Because, you know, I was like saying, hey, these are people who are playing here and here and here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were like current local artists for them. They weren't local for me, but they were local for somebody. Mm-hmm. And they were like contacting me saying, hey, I've got a show in a week. Can you play some of my songs? And I was like, well, send me some of them. And, you know, if I like them, I'll play them. I mean, you know, I wasn't the kind of person that would play a Taylor Swift kind of person. You know, I mean, I would, you know, someone like that send me something, I would say, well, I don't think so.
Really? But, I'd play Taylor Swift.
Well, okay, good for you. But you know, my podcast was always more of a very, very raw, really, really crude rock and roll sort of podcast. If you'll remember them.
Mm-hmm.
There really wasn't a whole lot of very polite things in most of my podcasts. Most of them were, there were a few that were rather kind of crude. But most of them were just kind of like general, kind of like Rolling Stones kind of mentality, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to marry you. I just want to take you home and take you to bed, you know, kind of mentality, you know.
Yeah.
You know. You know, the Beatles said, I want to hold your hand. The Rolling Stones said, hey, let's go home and have sex together, you know? And that was the kind of, you know, the mainstream podcast was more the Beatles, and my podcast was more like the Rolling Stones. You know, it was cruder and ruder, and a lot of people liked that. And once I hit, it's really so funny. I don't really want to. Dump on Windows people, but I tell you, once I hit the Windows marketplace, I really hit my stride, because all those people really liked that attitude. When I hit the Windows marketplace, when I bought a Zune and went on the Zune marketplace with my attitude, It was crazy. My numbers just like jumped. It was just so funny. What can I?
That's weird. Well, speaking of podcasts,
yes,
Virtual Youper number 41.
Yes.
Yes. Well, yesterday was the Great Canadian National Day of Podcasting, and if you go to Day of Podcasting. .ca and take a look at the top entry there on the list of podcasts released yesterday.
Okay.
All right.
Don't be so casual. Talk a little more excited.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. It's been a long day. But yes, I am excited about it. It's been way too long. So yesterday was the Canadian National Day of Podcasting. Yes?
Yes.
And I figured, what better day than to finally get this done, especially now that I'm finally getting used to these tools. Now, I didn't use Soundboard yesterday. I decided that since I had all these clips from the PAB 2012, that I would mix those in with some music. And that's what I did. And it's only about a 20-minute podcast. I was really working hard to get it out yesterday. And actually, I went to a dinner. They had activities for the kids during the day yesterday, and I got back and I got invited to venison dinner with one of my neighbors. So my youngest son and I went over to that and came back, and I came over here and sat down with the computer and started putting the show together. And I was kind of going through the math going, well, how much can I do tonight and still get this uploaded within, you know, the actual day of the day of podcasting? So I kind of cut it off at 20 minutes. But I had a blast, and yes, active again.
Good. And, yeah. And that's all right. You know, the one nice thing about podcasts, they can be any length you want them to be.
That's right.
So there's no rules, really, for podcasting.
That's right. There's no rules.
No rules. Matter of fact, we're going to stay on here for another 3 hours.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I don't have the attention span for that.
You don't have the attention span for it, did you say, Josh? No,
yeah, I don't think I have the attention span for that, and I'm the one that, one of the guys in here doing it.
I just want to applaud Michael, and thank you so much for putting that out, because I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't know whether has it hit the RSS feed? I guess it has. I should go check my... I should go check my feed here and see whether it's been downloaded.
Yeah, it's, I checked it last night. I updated. You know, it's been a while since I've updated some of the stuff.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry.
You don't have it into iTunes yet, right?
No, because I want to take strip the Mio references out of there before I go ahead and list both those shows on iTunes. Now, if you enter the feeds.feedburner.com entry into your iTunes, it'll go and find it. But I haven't listed it with iTunes yet.
Okay. I have to go check to make sure which feed I have of yours in there. But I don't know whether I can check right now. But
after I released it last night, I actually did a search on the episode. Mm-hmm. And this kind of goes down a couple of items in our notes. But I was surprised to see that my episode showed up being hosted in Germany under podcast DE.
Really?
All right.
And then I, you know, it's cool. And it turns out that they have all of my shows there, and people have been rating them.
Oh, cool.
Very
I'm getting
cool.
I'm getting 4 and 5 star ratings, which is good to see. At least as far back as I was.
Go, Michael.
Well, you know, I've been seeing, you know, because I've got cluster maps on the website, and I've been seeing access, that and in my 1-in-1 specs for the website, I've been seeing a lot of access from Europe, and I didn't think anything about it. But apparently, people are, you know, it's been 2 years since I put out a virtual Uper. Oh, gosh, I hate to admit that. But I looked at the last XML update, and it was November 20th, 2010. And then I looked at the traffic on my site, and it's been consistent. So it's about damn time I got going on it again.
You know what?
Okay, now am I getting worked up?
I don't even have you in my podcast list anymore, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Because it's been so long, it was like, you know, a dead podcast.
Oh, what the hell?
Ouch.
I'm going to have to re-add it. Now, it's probably one time when I was switching from various apps on the iPhone, and I finally settled on Downcast. But, it didn't seem like... it doesn't look like Virtual Uper made it over when I switched over. I'm going to have to fix that.
Well, one of the founders of PAB contacted me yesterday and said I've been made an honorary Canadian, so I was more than welcome to.
You lucky dog! Man, that's what I want.
I definitely consider it an honor.
I am typing in as we speak, and I typed in Viet Uper.
What?
I was trying to type in virtual, and it came out Viet. Oops.
Okay.
So, as let me see. I'm going to do a search in Downcaster and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Virtual Uper showed up.
If you do an automatic search, it won't find it because it's not listed in.
It came up with Ninja Radio.
Actually,
Ninja Radio featured me last summer. That's why it comes up.
Ah.
Oh, very cool. So it is. You're almost there. You're getting closer. It's just going the long way around.
Yeah, well, see, the author of Ninja Radio was at PAB 2012, and she did an interview with me. So there's an episode. that references the virtual Uper.
Okay, so let me put it in manually. So
it's feeds.feedburner.com.
Okay, colon slash slash feeds dot feedburner.
.com.
Dot com slash
forward slash
yeah virtual
Uper. Sherman's at the Wayback Machine to virtually
he's using an Enigma machine to actually type it in.
I'm typing it in on my iPhone.
Oh, okay. You know, because it sounds like the first time someone's trying to learn how to, you know, literally write code. feedback slash.
Okay, it says I'm subscribed. Let's see. Oh, it's downloading a virtual Uper 41.
Yay!
Oh, this is going to screw up our bandwidth.
That shouldn't. I optimized that podcast at about 18 meg.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 17.1, actually, to be precise. Yeah.
So, anyhow, I got done mixing the show and normalizing it and uploaded it and updated the XML feeds, and I still could remember all my passwords. I was shocked because I did all this stuff manually.
Wow.
And then went back out and had another beer and went back and had some more venison last night.
Wow.
I don't know if any of you are hunters, but this is Uper territory, right?
Right, yeah.
So my friend gets a big buck, but you know, he's just like, well, it's enough, so we're gonna have a dinner. We're like, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, he invites half the town, actually invited the entire town, half the town showed up. And he made a smooth and spicy venison, and then a dark porter beer venison, and then a Jack Daniels venison.
Ooh.
And we had squash and everything, and I'm like, well, how big was this deer? And he goes, well, I don't know. I've had bigger. I didn't think it was worth, you know, submitting for a record this year. And I said, well, how big is that? And he goes, well, it was a 15 pointer. I'm like, a what?
Holy smokes.
I said, well, how much did it weigh? And he goes, well, it wasn't that big. It was 230 pounds after dressing. I said, what?
Holy crap.
Is like this after field dressing? He goes, no, that was after full dressing. That's why we had some to share. Like, wow.
That is, my God, a 15-pointer. 200 and how much after dress?
230 pounds after dress.
My God. You're talking a freezer full of meat right there. A freezer full.
That's why they had a party. Yeah, that was a freezer full.
Incredible. Oh, by the way, I just want to tell you, you're not downloading yet. You're queued up behind No Agenda, number 466. So.
Yeah, they had trouble getting that show going today.
I never listened to them live.
Well, I've got, you know, I've upgraded my, I'm diverging from the notes here, but I've upgraded the entire property to the new mesh units, which are very powerful and very sensitive. So I can literally walk around, you know, this, you know, 5 acres here. And they all have the same SSID now, and they all hand off nicely. So I've got the iPhone in my pocket, and I'm listening to live streams as I walk around the property, and it's handing off beautifully.
Nice.
Wow.
And we had a little break in the weather today. I mean, we've had 8 to 10 inches of snow on the ground, but it got warm today. I'm thinking, well, today's probably the last good day to pull the dock out of the water. So I'm listening to No Agenda, and I'm listening to Adam and John get things set up, and Adam's going ballistic. He was not happy as things were blowing up on him. And I get the tow strap on the, because it's a dock on wheels, you know, pull it out of the lake. But I'm, it's basically a cliff on the side of the lake where I'm at. So it's really, you get off the ladder on the dock, and you're knee deep, and you take 2 steps out, and you're over your head.
Wow!
So you really gotta be careful, because you know this thing bolts onto a landing, okay, and then it goes out quite a ways. But so I got the tow strap on it, and I got the tow strap going up this hill to my Jeep, and I unbolt it from the landing, and now, you know, now it's free. Now the only thing keeping this dock from going into 60 feet of water is my Jeep, and I get in and I turn the key, and it goes click.
Oh.
The battery went bad. The Jeep's in the woods. It's completely surrounded by trees, and so it's kind of blocked in, but there's this area where I used to pull it in to pull the dock out. I finally did get started, but you know, I went 200 feet of extension cord to a booster charger and get it out there. I need a new battery. Yeah, normally this is a job for my tractor, but my tractor, that needs a new clutch. At least I'm hoping that's all it needs. We're carrying it.
Damn, you're too funny, man.
So, well, I got it done. But yeah, so I'm sitting there with this dead Jeep with this, you know, this tow strap holding on to
the dock.
100 feet of dock. And I'm in the snow, and I'm thinking, if this thing starts sliding forward and I get no power, I'm going to lose the dock and the Jeep.
Oh, God. That's when you're asking yourself, all right, I'm not losing both the Jeep and the dock, so how sharp's the pocket knife I had to cut their strap, holding the two together?
Yeah, that's when Michael's always singing the blues. Ba-bum, ba-bum. I am so screwed. Ba-bum,
ba-bum. This the is a military Jeep surplus. Dead. Ba-bum, ba-bum. Yeah, I would have needed a chainsaw to cut this thing quick.
Yeah. That kind of reminds me of that insurance commercial. Oh, I forget which one. The one that cracks me up the most is the girl that's on the ferry, and the ferry starts taking off from the dock, but her car's about halfway on the ferry and halfway on the dock, and she's going, no, 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 no. It's the ferry's taking off.
Yeah. Well, it had a happy ending, but it took me about 2 hours longer than normal to pull this thing out of the water because of it.
It had a happy ending.
That is funny. But I mean, and I can only imagine, Michael, at some point, you're sitting behind the wheel of the Jeep, and you've tried the key 6 times, you know, turn it, chick, 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 chick. Eventually, you get to that point where you put your head on the wheel and go, really? Really? This had to be this hard?
It felt like Marty in Back to the Future. Although when I banged the steering wheel, it didn't help any.
Exactly. It's like, come on, start, you piece of vroom. Oh, great. There we go. Oh, man. You got to love days like those, because without days and moments like those, you can't appreciate the days when everything just falls into place. You know,
yeah, what are those like that?
Yeah, they do happen. When everything you touch, literally, it just works the first time. And you're like, oh, wow, that went together good. Oh, that came apart nice.
You have nice dreams, Jash.
I have a few of those once in a while. Usually, most of mine end up like Michael's, except I probably use a lot more profanity when they go south.
Yeah, really.
That's almost a guarantee, and I don't care who's standing with an earshot when I'm letting it rip.
So, I got to be going soon. Can we jump ahead a few topics and start talking about the Microsoft Surface?
Sure.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a non-Apple topic. Josh, you should be happy. This is Microsoft making a decent product.
Mm-hmm. I've actually looked into that. I've looked into it several times. I hate it. But that's besides, I don't like it.
Well, I'm talking about the new Microsoft Pro.
Oh, okay.
It's a whole new tablet. Uh-huh. This is not the old tablet that was kind of like compromised with the little chiclet keyboard. Mm-hmm. This is a whole new Microsoft Pro tablet that has an Intel i5 chip in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a powerful piece of processing property.
Yeah.
With no keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes for, you ready? Mm-hmm. $900. For a 64-meg item.
Yeah.
That's right. The starting price?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Yes, it is. And you can spend an extra $100. And get one, which I forget what that comes with. But, basically what you're buying is a laptop all in the lid. You're buying the lid of a laptop without the keyboard.
Wow.
For $900.
So I guess iPad doesn't have anything to worry about.
No. Well, this is not an iPad competitor, because the iPad is an ARM chip product that is like, you know, 2 or 3 steps behind this.
Yeah.
This is more of an iMac competitor.
Yeah. Okay.
But the only thing is that you have to, like, you know, spend an extra $100 for a keyboard and another $50-$60 for a mouse. And, you know, then you get up to the point of $1,200 iMac.
But it's touch, so you really don't need a mouse. But it would probably
make exactly. Yeah. You don't really need a mouse. You don't really technically need a keyboard. So, you know, this is basically a PC laptop capable a tablet.
And what's the size of it? Is it a 10-inch?
Basically, from what I've heard, or from what I've gotten, the link I provided was from the technologizer from off of Time Magazine, and Harry McCracken.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So this is his first view of it, and he's talking about it as a very capable tablet, and it is very powerful. And it does a lot of really cool things. It's more expensive than an iPad.
Just a touch.
Then again, what was that?
I said just a touch.
Yeah, it is a whole lot of touch. The whole screen is touch capable. It's Windows 8 Pro, just like you buy on a Windows Pro desktop. It's the exact same operating system on a tablet. And it is not powered by some mediocre ARM chip. This is a full-blown Intel Itel 5 processor. That's what you get with this thing.
Yeah.
So this is not a slouch piece of equipment. This is a very powerful, totally Windows-capable machine that does the whole Windows thing all in a tablet format.
Wow.
So if that's what you're looking for, your dream has come true.
But you know what I'm wondering? I'm wondering if Harry McCracken has a brother named Phil.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I couldn't stop it. I couldn't help it.
Okay. Sorry. I just just totally ruined the vibe here. Every time I hear his name, I think of that joke. Okay.
Hey, Barry, I'm not touching it. I just want the one that didn't always trumpet Apple stuff all the time. Hey, I'm bringing you some great Microsoft news.
Actually,
from Phil McCracken.
Harry McCracken. But he is a respected.
Oh, he is.
Who, Phil?
No, his brother Harry.
All right.
Yeah, who's on a twit quite frequently.
He is.
I think it was last week, as a matter of fact. So. Okay.
While you're
in a laughing mood, we also have something else to celebrate.
Actually, I'm looking at the thing here before you move on, and it does look like a very nice tablet. It's actually a 6x9 ratio style tablet too, and so it does look like a decent product. And I'm not Windows 8. I think is going to be great on a tablet. It sucks without the touch. But if you got something you can tap the screen, I think it's a competitor. So I'm sorry. So go the next one.
I don't really care. All I'm trying to say is nobody can accuse me of being an Apple fanboy, because here I am bringing you some Microsoft news of pertinent interest. And hey, do with it what you will, but do not accuse me of being solely a Apple fanboy, because I will trumpet Microsoft's I can't say triumphs, but or successes, releases. That's a good word. Microsoft's releases. This is a new release coming up from Microsoft, and it's something of interest. If you're looking to buy a laptop, this could be a viable laptop replacement. If you don't really need a keyboard or a mouse.
I would even probably say that if you're going to go with Windows 8, like you're going to have much choice in the future, that it is the only Windows machine you want to get. That or a desktop type with a touch screen. because
unless you really want to have a keyboard and a mouse, because this does not come from come with that, and it's $800 at actually I think it's like $899, so it's $900 initially for the 64 meg memory model.
Yeah, you know, many podcasts ago, we talked about, because I said I use a Bluetooth keyboard with my, if I got to do a lot of typing with my iPad, okay? And we mentioned, well, it's got Bluetooth, and we were saying, well, you could use a mouse with it. And I said, well, you probably could. I should try it sometime. And I actually went down, and I forgot to report on this, but yeah, there was only one problem with using a mouse with the iPad, and I'm curious whether the Surface is the same way. There's no cursor.
Well, I haven't had that problem with Windows 8, because I use Windows 8 on a desktop computer, an older one that I had Windows...
right. Well, no, that works. That works fine, but I'm talking about using a mouse with a tablet. The problem with tablets are there's no cursor.
Well, yeah, but with a tablet, you don't really want to have a mouse or a keyboard around, because it's a mobile device. Hmm. You want to carry it places, and you don't want to carry a lot of extra junk with you.
Well, like I said, if I was typing...
Otherwise, why not just grab a freaking
laptop? Well, I took, like I said, a couple business trips I took. I took just the iPad with me, and there were a couple times, most of the time I didn't need a keyboard, but I brought the keyboard because Apple makes a nice little Bluetooth keyboard that is very small.
Yeah, I used it on a number of machines here.
So when I was doing my daily reports back home, it was a lot easier to use the keypad. The keyboard to type those reports up than it was to use the built-in one on the tablet, because it uses a lot of display real estate for that keyboard.
I can dig that, because when I've been on the road, when I've used the lap on my iPad a lot, it's been for more personal things, so all the on-screen stuff worked pretty well. And when I was doing the work-related things, I didn't use my iPad. I used my corporate laptop, you know, the 2-ton HP.
Yeah.
I had the Dragon.
I have one of those, too. It sits at home most of the time.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't really have to deal with trying to use the iPad with the corporate LAN, because I never really tried to connect to the corporate LAN with the laptop. I mean, with the iPad, because I always kept the iPad for my own stuff. There have been, like, short business trips where I wouldn't take my personal laptop because it was, like, too short. Mm-hmm. And all I wanted to do was just, like, email and miscellaneous things like that, and, you know, simple banking. So I would take the iPad with me, and it was, like, totally suited for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, on the go, the on-screen keyboard was totally adequate. I didn't have any problem at all.
Well, I actually took it on a couple of 3-week trips, and it worked fine for the 3 weeks too. I was perfectly happy using the iPad, and I, you know, could get back and mostly get all I need to do is do my time card and get the company email, and it worked fine for that. And
When I'm on the road, I tend to try to log into my Unix machine back in the office to look at things, and from there log into other office Unix machines to compare things, especially if I have questions about things that aren't really wrong, but just like things that make me go, huh? You know, on the road, and I'll say, well, you know, this isn't really a problem, but can I make this better? So, you know, I will look in some of our office machines, and for that, it helps to be able to log in completely.
Yeah.
And I need to be able to have a full network capability to be able to do that, and I can't do that from the iPad yet.
Well, you could if you used Go to My PC. Oh, wait a minute, they're not a sponsor.
I'm ready to support that.
All right. So happy birthday to Pong.
Oh, wait a minute. All right. I had a pertinent thing to add here regarding the Windows tablets and Windows 8.
Okay.
Did you see Windows already released or announced Windows Blue to replace Windows 8?
No. What?
No, it did not.
Look it up. Windows Blue.
Really? Coming to a tablet near you in the year 2113.
They're talking about this being a yearly update. As soon as they release it, they will no longer accept Windows 8 application
really?
For their store. Yes, it means like a bam, kapow.
But did you say 2113 or 2013?
No, I said 2113. At least that's what their schedule was before.
Oh, all right.
So now they're talking about doing a
yearly updates.
Yearly update.
Kind of like
Apple.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, everybody, I was listening to another tech podcast, and somebody knows somebody at Apple, and they were saying, yeah, everybody was surprised that they came out with the latest iPad only 6 months or 8 months after the iPad 3 came out. Mm-hmm. They said, well, don't expect that to happen every time. What they were doing is realigning the announcement dates so that it was closer to the Christmas season.
Oh, that's smart. It's smart.
And it does make sense. I mean, if you're going to come out with something new, come out with it in October.
Mm-hmm.
Just in time for the Christmas season. So, yeah. So I don't think we'll see another new iPad until next October, probably.
Let's hope not.
Yeah.
That's a double. Let's hope not.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Getting on to happier topics. Who remembers Pong?
I do.
Well, this is Pong's birthday. If you can find a Pong machine, have some fun.
I think I have one in the back story.
Coming to a burned-in screen near you.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Really? Well, I had one that was Pong. And then you click the button over, and it was also hockey.
Which was basically the
Pong game with goals.
It's like table hockey, table tennis.
Yeah, it looked just like Pong, except for they, put white rectangles without one side on either side for goals, and so you wouldn't get the point unless it crossed into that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the whole other side.
This is officially the 40th anniversary of Pong.
Wow. So we're talking...
So all your folks can feel even older.
1972? Wow. Yeah, that's about right. That's when I got my game. I think so. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I still have that thing.
Right next to your Commodore 64.
Yeah, the Commodore 64 and the TI-99.
I got a couple of those, and I got a 128.
Yeah. Jeez. Wow. Happy birthday, Pong. Wow. Making me feel old.
I just wanted to mention that so that we would at least be one tech podcast that would acknowledge the anniversary and birthday of Pong.
Well, we have done so for the record.
If nobody else does, we have. I know that the technologer has on his website. Harold McCracken has mentioned it. That's where I got it from when I was getting the information on the Microsoft tablet today. Mm-hmm. I thought, whoa, I gotta mention this.
Wow. The only podcast that wished Pong a happy birthday.
Or at least the first. QRM. Because we don't know what... what's his name? tomorrow night. Later tonight. Trying to think. Shoot.
You talk about Leo Laporte?
Yeah.
Leo. Oh, okay.
He's liable to mention it.
This Week in Tech. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was hoping to kind of scoop Leo in at least one freaking thing.
Yeah, but his podcast will get out before ours. Maybe not. I've been pretty quick about putting these things out.
But we can always record the time that this was recorded and say, hey, at the time of recording, we recorded this before Leo did.
And actually, I do. If you go to the website, I have what day and it was recorded.
Go, Barry. Go, Barry.
All right.
Go, Barry.
We've got it. We got it for the record. Okay.
We did it first. Screw Leo. Leo, screw you.
Well, I understand the reference, but I'm not sure how many people do there.
I understood the reference, too.
I don't.
Oh, God. That was a Leo Laporte thing. He told somebody to go screw himself on that Swin episode one time.
It was the Palm Prix, wasn't it?
Huh?
He was talking about the Palm Prix. And,
it was some guy.
It was, I know, but what started it out was, cripe, what's that guy's? Because the guy he was mad at merged with AOL.
He wasn't
and
really
wanted,
totally mad at him. I mean, he was joking on him.
Why can't I think of the...
I can't think of who it was now. We're talking years ago.
Michael Arrington or something like
that? Yeah, it was Arrington. Yeah,
Arrington, that's right. Yeah.
He wasn't really mad at him. He was just busting on him. And Mike took it the wrong way.
He was talking to Arrington, and
screw you, Mike Arrington!
I was pretty sure he was demonstrating a new Palm Prix. And talking about it, I was pretty sure it was a Palm Prix. And Arrington says, by the way, did you provided that or did you buy that? And Leo got into, what are you insinuating? And Arrington said something, Arrington-like,
yeah.
For those that know him. And Leo Laporte said, screw you, and stopped the show right there. Walked off the set.
Really?
Yeah, you can find the videos up there. You can find it.
Yeah.
Is he serious?
Oh, he was serious.
He was serious at the time.
He was serious, yeah.
I haven't heard Mike Arrington on any Twitch shows ever since.
No, and then he merged with AOL, and then they had him working for Huffington. That had to work real
well. Oh, yeah, that was fun.
He's not he's not.
He left.
Yeah, he left. So who knows where? Well,
he's still out and about.
Oh, he's a venture capitalist.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't he like a venture capitalist or an angel? Whatever they
call it. Incubator and all that other stuff,
Big bucks kind of guy now.
Yeah. So, wow. Okay. All righty.
How far afield have we gone?
So,
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to drag you.
Oh, no, that's cool.
Those areas.
So first of all, Michael, I understand you registered a new podcast or a new
domain. Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it was available. I was making a joke last week when I was saying that I was actually going to finally do another virtual Uper, but you guys gave me such a hard time about it. Every time I brought up virtual Uper, I said the podcast that shall not be named. And I thought, gee, I wonder if that's available. And it was. So I think there's a possibility there. And then not only that, the podcast that must not be named is also available.
Did you get that?
Well, no, I'm going to have to do it before you release the show.
Yes, because one of our 2.3 people will go register.
I know, but this one's close, but the podcast that must not be named would actually be right in the theme of Harry Potter. I'm shocked that it's not hasn't been taken.
Yeah, it's... You'd think someone would have jumped on that within the first movie.
But I like this one. I like this one. The podcast that shall not be named. It's got that no agenda feel to it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Should be able to do something with this.
Yeah, it does.
Like I need to support a third podcast out of my own studio, but
yeah. You know,
get busy, Michael.
We could do TPTSNBN number one.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, we've used up all of our bandwidth just naming the podcast. We'll see you next week.
Oh, man. And typing that in.
All right.
Maybe that's why it hasn't been taken yet.
Yeah.
I am way overdue for leaving, so I really okay. gotta go.
Barty's gotta go do his drugs.
Yeah. No, I already did those.
Oh.
I forget what you guys were all talking about. You got off on a tangent, so I went ahead and did my stats, and I got my drugs and all that. But now it's time for bed.
Oh.
I really got to go hit the sack.
Okay.
I got to get up and go to work in the morning.
Oh, that is so true. Yes, but it's a short week for me, so... Not for you. It's a long
for me,
week
for you. Well, I'm on the opposite schedule, so this is my long week.
All right. Well, Barty, take care, and we should be actually... Well, we got a couple more topics here, so I see NORAD.
Mm-hmm.
Who put that in? You did, Josh?
Yep, okay. I did, because it's important. I want to know when Santa Claus is coming, damn it.
Yeah?
You betcha.
There's always an annual link for that, Josh.
I just put the link in the show notes.
I don't think it would be good for them to do that this year.
Why?
Because there's a lot of things going on in the world right now, and to actually tell those type of people where Santa is.
But you know what? I think we need to have drones shadowing Santa Claus.
That's right. The Santa
drone. Anybody
drones.
That shows any kind of threat to Santa Claus ought to be annihilated.
The Santa drone.
The Santa drone.
Well, I would call it the Santa drone. I wouldn't necessarily put it on his shoulders or on his back.
Oh, okay.
I just think we just need to protect Santa for the good of the world.
Okay.
This is a world peace issue. Protect Santa at all costs. And we just send out drones everywhere. And wherever Santa goes, if there's any threat, we wipe him out.
We drone
him. We don't do the little namby-pamby throw a bomb in the window and kill one terrorist. Screw that. Let's get back to the old carpet bombing that worked so well in World War II. When you wipe out a whole damn town, they stop fighting.
Just remember.
Well, let's go back to that.
Just remember, Santa has a list. And he's checking it twice.
Let him check it twice. And we will wipe out all of the bad people on his bad list in a moment's notice. Just give us that bad list, Santa. We will wipe them out with a big old carpet bombing expedition. There's nothing that a few, two or three B-52s can't do to shut the hell up of a bunch of people.
Remember when Santa just used to give coal to the bad people?
Or Nickelback CDs.
Oh, jeez. That's low. That's really low.
That's worse than coal. All right, y'all. I'm out of here.
Okay, we'll see you, Barty.
Peace, everybody. Love you.
Bye.
Oh, man.
Go back or carpet bombing. I think I'll take the carpet bombing thing.
So we got a Foursquare update.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, we've created a competitor.
Are you no longer mayor of anything?
No, I've still got my mayorships, but crap. Let me pull it up. Yesterday, my 13-year-old peaked out at 531 points.
Really?
In Copper Harbor, it's got to be tough to do.
Now, is he cheating?
How do you define
cheating? Is being a passenger in a car and checking into some place that you're driving past. Ask Josh about that.
Then yes,
I don't know anything of what you're talking
this
about.
Way. I have given my son a really hard time about all the bars he's checked into.
Oh, he is going to hear. Didn't I become a friend of his on Foursquare?
Yes, you did, I think.
Yes, I am going to have to get on and give him a hard time.
That is too... I didn't realize that many bars sell milkshakes. He's checked in. He must be getting a vanilla or a chocolate milkshake. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Huh. No, I've been trying really hard to keep up with him. What did I hit yesterday? I've peaked out 311, and I had to work at that, especially now that I'm not a new person anymore.
Yeah.
Although, you know, if you check into the places where you're mayor, it does help.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get that mayor bonus. You get a three-point bonus for every place that you're mayor.
I am no longer mayor of two places.
Oh, no.
It was taken away from me. Yeah, the Walgreens pharmacy down in Milford. I'm no longer mayor, but I only go there like once a month.
So, let's see here.
The Irving gas station, I'm no longer mayor. And to tell you the truth, I didn't even know I was mayor there. So, but it was taken away from me. Damn Prius. So I'm going to have to work on that.
Yeah, you
do that. Mayor of 17, 18, 19. I'm mayor of 19 places right now.
Really? Yeah. I'm mayor of none. Because I got tired of trying to do it on a BlackBerry, and basically, I snapped off the little crank handle on the back of the phone, trying to give it enough power to actually try to find some place to check in. So
you need the gerbil option there.
I didn't come with it. Oh my God, is it frustrating?
Yeah. Well, you're gonna get a new phone soon, right?
Well, that's what I'm hearing. And I won't believe it until it shows up in my hand, but that's what I'm being told.
Yeah. So soon we'll have a Foursquare frenzy guy there.
Hopefully if I'm walking around with an iPhone 4, or actually an iPhone 5 in my pocket.
Yes. That would be nice.
It would be very nice. I'm also looking at MacBook Airs.
I need to get one soon here, too, but I can't afford it.
Well, I mean, it's not like I can afford it either, but I'm looking. I didn't say I had the money to buy one.
But I sleep well at night, so that's all I care about, so, yeah.
I mean, my thing is, you know, I'm looking at lots of things and lots of options, and you guys actually nailed something when you and Barty were talking, and I know Michael's right there with you. My work laptop, I'd really like to keep it work. This thing must weigh, it's like carrying three cinder blocks in a backpack. The Dell Inspiron. They ought to call it the Dell Lead Brick, because it's not nice to carry around.
No, I know.
It's the Bar Dell.
Yeah, exactly, the bar, exactly. It also works really good as a boat anchor for a 15-foot John boat, because I swear to God, if you tie a rope to it into the boat, it ain't going anywhere. This thing is heavy.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it, and I'm saying to myself, man, you know what? I'm not complaining. It's a decent machine, but I'd really be happy if I could just unlock my desk drawer, put it in my desk drawer, lock my desk drawer, and go home. And then have my Mac in my backpack. Hmm.
That would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's funny. I just looked on the Apple store while Barney was talking. They have not MacBook Airs, obviously, but just Apple products that are refurbished when you told me all about them. And sure enough, boy, if you're looking for Christmas gifts for teenagers or something, they have refurbished iPods on there for $129, the fourth generation.
Wow. And you know what? I was listening to a podcast, and I'm going to have to find out the name, but found out that Apple is also selling refurbished stuff on eBay.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't think they're doing it under Apple.
Right.
But they say they were finding out, because a lot of people don't know how to get or don't even think to go to to Apple for refurbished products.
Right.
And they make it hard to find, but they're there. So I think, they've got some little company selling refurbished by Apple products.
I'll be honest with you. I'm looking at their website right now. Not to interrupt, and I apologize for doing so, but I'm looking at Apple's website right now, apple.com, and because we all know, secretly, way down deep inside, I'm an Apple fanboy, just stuck in the Mac world. But if you click on Store, because I'm using Safari, I run Safari on this, and it runs better than anything else. But right on the right hand side, they've changed the layout of their web page, and there's a very big 2-inch by 2-inch block that says Apple certified refurbished products.
Cool.
Before, it used to be a little, you're right, it used to be a little teeny tiny blurb of words at the bottom lower left part of the screen.
Yeah.
Now it's right there for you to see, and that's what I clicked on, and sure enough, there's all kinds of stuff up in here.
Wow. Cool. Well, at least that's good to know. So they're serious about doing, and they really give those a thorough check. Matter of fact,
yes, they do. Like this MacBook Air for $849.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, $849.
Oh, they come with the full 1 year warranty on them.
Yeah, Apple,
and you can buy Apple Care with them for them.
Yeah, that's impressive. MacBook Air. Wow, these prices are good.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I need to get one soon, but I got to pay some bills off first.
I hear you, brother. Same here. Yeah. $700. Holy crap.
Yeah. My wife was asking me, well, if you had to get a laptop, how much would it cost you? I said, the one I want? And she says, yeah. I said, it's just under $3,000.
Yeah, 27 and change.
Yeah, and she goes, really? I said, yeah, but they last 6-7 years. I said, mine's still working. Mm-hmm. I said, the biggest problem with it is the memory thing now.
Let me ask you a question. Isn't there a way to freshen that up? I mean, for instance, I know we all know this. I'm saying this, I'm explaining it for any of the three listeners that we have that may not be aware. But if I have my HP or my Dell machine and it starts getting bogged down, because there's so much being in it, bottom line, you can yank the RAM, upgrade the RAM, and basically you can wipe the hard drive, reload the operating system, and it will work just like it did when it was brand new because you've wiped out all the peripheral.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, on Mac products, you usually don't have to worry about wiping the hard drive clean and starting over from scratch. It doesn't hurt to do it once in a while, but that's not the problem. My problem is my MacBook Pro... It maxes out at 3 gigs of RAM.
Okay.
And that's all you can get. Well,
that's pretty decent.
Not in today's world. Today's world, you bring up Safari, and you come up, and I'll have like I'll be using a gig or so.
Mm-hmm.
I start Safari and I go on any Google page.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, it will consume the other 2 gig.
Really?
Yes. Now, on the MacBook Mini, which is a new MacBook, not MacBook Mini, Mac Mini, which is a new Mac Mini last year, that's downstairs, or actually it was this year we bought it, I upgraded that to 8 gigs of RAM, and it doesn't have any problems.
Really? Handling, okay.
Yeah, so it's a matter of... The programs today, mostly the web browsers, and need more than 3 gig of RAM.
Yeah, the ones I'm looking at here start at 4 gigabytes of RAM and go up.
Right, and so the computer still runs, but what it starts doing is it starts swapping because all the RAM's used up, so it starts swapping stuff out the disk, and that is a very slow process.
Mm-hmm.
And it just that's when you get the beach balls, and it'll work. It's just slow, and I'm not used to slow.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's 6 years old. It's older than 6 years old now. It's going on 7 years, and it's been good, and it still works. And
what operating system are you running on it? Out of curiosity,
I that's the other problem too. I am running Snow Leopard.
That's Snow Leopard? Oh, okay.
That's Lion. I'm running Lion on it, but I can't upgrade it to Mountain Lion.
Right.
Because I've gone past that, and I've already run into one problem. I like to use iMessage.
Mm-hmm.
I use it on my iPad. I use it on my iPhone. When I'm on the laptop, I downloaded the beta version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice because there's been a couple times I've been chit-chatting with Michael and one of his sons on there. And it works great, but I got a notification from Apple that says the beta program's over. And if you'd like to continue using iMessage, then all you have to do is upgrade to Mountain Lion. And, oh, that only costs $29 to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you don't have a machine that can upgrade to it.
Hey.
So I'm going to lose iMessage on December 14th.
Well, on your laptop. On your laptop.
It'll be on... it'll be on my iPad, it'll be on my iPhone, it'll be on the Mac Mini downstairs.
Right.
But it was nice that if I'm using my laptop, I can pop up iMessage and use it. And there's a few other things I'm missing out on. And it'll only get worse as they go down the road. Because basically they're saying that my laptop is now 6 years old, mm-hmm. and it's gone past their what do they call it, end of life, basically.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the further out we go, the less they'll support it. Right. But that's true with any product.
True.
So, it happens with everything. So, matter of fact, I've got Windows 8 on this machine,
mm-hmm.
my PC, yep. and for some reason, I guess it saw I had the 32-bit version of Windows 7 on there, so it put the 32-bit version of Windows 8 on there, which mm-hmm. I was kind of going, I wish it had put the 64-bit version on there, because one of these days I've got to put the 64-bit version on this machine, because I have the same problem. I've only got 3 gig of RAM in my PC here,
yeah.
and it can take more. Yeah. But I got to go up the 64-bit version of the operating system. I can go up to 8 gigs on this right. machine, but I have to be running 64-bit operating system to access that 8 gigs.
Right.
So that's been put on hold for a little bit, because there's going to have to be a whole lot of backup going on that machine before right. I upgrade it, so... Anyway, that's life with PCs. But mm-hmm. I sleep well at night, so, you know, I'm glad I got the bed. For
yes.
those who remember back when I got the Sleep Number bed. Yes, I have been sleeping very well. My back no longer hurts hardly at all, except, you know, if I yank it doing something stupid, or, you know, if I stand too long, it bothers me. But it used to bother me every day. And
right.
that has gone away since I got the bed. So it was well worth the money. So, anyway, so that was my laptop, though.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Yeah. So, well, guys, we've still got one more topic. I'll leave that for next week, because we've got until the end of the year to discuss that, but I would like to discuss it sometime.
Or at least until the 21st.
Oh, that's right. Yes. What, we got one more podcast to go?
Yeah.
Before the 21st or so? Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're all thinking it dirt naps.
Yeah. So, you know, then it'll be the podcast from beyond.
The podcast from the afterlife. Life.
And another date coming up here real soon. Not this week. Next week.
Mm-hmm.
is 12-12-12, which will be unique because it's 12-12-12, but we also won't get a date like that again until 21-01, because we've gone past 12 now. Next year will be 13, and there's no 13-13-13 date.
21-01, you said?
Yes, 21-01, or 2100, actually. Oh, no, 2101, when
yeah,
we can
well,
have another 01-01.
I don't think I'll be around.
I plan to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The new drugs and everything.
Well, it's nice to dream.
Yeah, I'll get another person cloned so I can use them as parts. You know, just keep replacing the bad parts.
That's if we make it past the 21st of this
month.
Well,
yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. If we do that, so. Yeah. Okay, guys. It's getting late. I think we're out of topics.
Yep.
And I want to thank everybody out there, including especially our military members that are listening in, hopefully. And I want to say thanks for what you're doing, and hopefully as we go into the holiday seasons, remember we're thinking about you, and hopefully some of you guys can take some leave and get home to be with your family and friends, and if you can't, remember we're with you, we're thinking about you this holiday season, and especially you guys at Oconus out there keeping us safe. Take care, and we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. So, we do have a musical guest. It's Mr. Link, and we're getting into the Christmas season, so we're gonna, his song is Swingin' Christmas. So, with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, where it was 50 degrees today.
Wow.
Damn global warming. I'm Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And from the suburbs of Copper Harbor, I'm Michael, the Virtual Youper in the Man Cave.
And don't forget to download the Virtual Youper, number 41.
Episode 41.
That's right. It's there. It's available. Who knows when the next time we'll see one. All right, everybody. We'll see you again next week. Here's Mr. Link.
Christmas time is finally here. Time to spread some Christmas cheer. And remember why we're here. Let's sing some Christmas songs. Up above the stars are bright. Down below it's snowy white. Let's wake up this silent night and swing some Christmas songs. If you can't sing like Ella or Sinatra too, you can be one happy fella. Sing about things the angels do. Underneath the Christmas star, people join from near and far. Doesn't matter where you are, let's swing some Christmas songs. Good old rock and roll. Maybe you like funky soul. It doesn't matter how you roll. Whether you are young or old, time to brave the Christmas cold. Let your voice be loud and bold and swing some Christmas songs. Above the stars are bright, down below the snow is white. Let's wake up this silent night and swing some Christmas songs. Maybe it takes you higher, rocking round the Christmas tree, with chestnuts on an open fire, maybe all that you desire. Christmas time is finally here, time to spread some Christmas cheer. And remember why we're here, let's swing some Christmas songs. Jingle bells will make things right. Don't be frosty and uptight. Let's swing some Christmas songs. So when you hear them carol, don't sit there and be rude. Otherwise I swear I'll have to turn and call you Mr. Scrooge. Up above the stars are bright, down below the snow is white. Let's wake up this silent night and swing some Christmas songs. Christmas time is finally here. Time to spread some Christmas cheer. And remember why we're here. Let's swing some Christmas. Sing some Christmas. Swing some Christmas songs.
Samson, speak. Good boy.